person. Okay, so if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, anybody remember what we talked about last Sunday? Anybody take notes? Because last Sunday is a long time and I forget. All right? Do you remember, Miss Joanne? Yeah, that was Wednesday, Joanne. Okay, sorry. Huh? Love and honor? Restoring honor? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we'll have to really check that up and see if that's really the one. Well, okay, yeah, thank God for people who take notes. We're going to talk about honoring. We're going to continue on our series on honor. And we'll get into different things, but I want to talk about honoring the anointing of God. And 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29 and 30. And we're going to read the New Living Translation, 2:29. And then 2:29 and 30. 1 Samuel. The scripture is talking about here, there's a story about Eli and his sons, or you want to say his family. And there's a young man in the house of Eli, or his ministry, a little man, a little prophet, a young man. My name is Samuel. And God began to use him. And here we'll pick up the story here. So God's speaking here to Eli. So why do you scorn my sacrifices and offerings? Why do you give your sons more honor than you give me? This is a very, very strong word for any family, a mom and dad who maybe honor your families, honor your husband, you honor your kids, your sons, your daughters, more than you honor your own God. And he says, for you have become fat from the best offerings of my people, Israel. No, they were stealing offerings. And they were feeding themselves. They would take the best of the sacrifices and burn offerings. They took the best and they took it for themselves before they would give it to God. And Samuel knew about it. God knew about it, and Eli, his behavior. Verse 30 says, therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I promise you that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priest. I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. This is 1 Samuel 2:30. And we said last week, when we read Psalm 91, I believe it's verse 15, it says, God says, him that honors me, I will honor him. And so we talked about honor, and we looked at that. We didn't quite finish thoroughly. We finished most of what we wanted, but I got what I needed there, and we'll go back to some of the material in that teaching, and we're going to go to this a little bit this morning. You know, if we honor God, if we honor his word, God will honor you and what you're doing. And the scripture reveals that when we fail to honor God and his stuff or his people, we can actually lose what we have in our lives. Particularly anything that comes from God, we can lose. You can lose an anointing. You can lose a place that should be yours. The people of Jesus' time in his own home country, it spells out for us that those people in his own hometown failed to recognize the value and the power of God upon the life of Jesus and his ministry. So it tells us that those people in his hometown didn't benefit from the power and the gift that God placed on this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we fail to recognize the anointing of God in our own lives. For instance, there's an anointing in this house. And sometimes people come in here, you know, they might not think, you know, correctly, and they think it's just like any other room. But there is an anointing here. There's the presence of God here. An anointing, if we respect it enough, that will get on you and your family and your stuff and heal you and deliver you and honor you and give you wisdom and change your life. But if you come in here and amongst the people of God and you don't honor that, then you lose out on it. I've given you an example that my wife, you know, honors my place as a pastor. I'm her husband, but she honors me as a man of God, inside and outside the church. Sometimes she forgets, but most of the time she remembers it. She really forgets when she tells me, go take the garbage out. forget to clean up the poop out there. The dog's gone all over. But anyways, you know, of course she honors me respectfully, and she remembers that, you know, that not only I'm her husband, I'm a man of God. She recognizes my place in the house as the head of the house. And she recognizes different things like that. And you have to be very careful that we don't override and don't, you know, break the parameters in which God has given us. And so whenever she talks to me with God's people, she refers to me not only as her husband, but she says, pastor says this, or pastor, you know, and so on. She respects that office. It's not just about me, a man, but she respects God and his word. That's why she's doing it. She wants to teach other people to respect the house of God and the things of God. And I was telling about my cousin Ed. He's here. I grew up with Ed. And, you know, we could become very familiar with each other, but he recognizes I have a place in his life. So whenever we refer around different places, he calls me Pastor Roma. He doesn't just call me Roma, because he has honor towards God. He understands that, and he grew up in a house where his mom and dad taught him correctly about what to honor. And I know lots of times you do, wherever we go. And sometimes at the college, you know, different college students, you know, that come by here, and they've been here for a number of years, and I become their teacher in the college, and I'm around the campus, they never say Roma. They always say, hey, pastor, you know, I have a hard time saying Roma to you because, you know, you're a man of God. And so they honor that, and lots of people that are not Christians call me pastor. People at the television program, when I was doing the around town, and the lady there, what her name is, she says, you know, she calls me pastor, and so on, and different ones. And so, you know, there's a respectfulness about that we must understand in the things of God, in the house of God. And so these people here in his hometown felt to recognize about Jesus and the ministry. They got too familiar with Jesus. In Luke's gospel, it's recorded that not one miracle was done in his hometown. In fact, he was flatly rejected when they could have enjoyed the manifestation of that healing power and the miracle power in his hometown in that area. The same can be said for all of us. Now, Jesus himself is not here physically, but he sent people like myself. The Bible says in Ephesians that God, Jesus, has given gifts, and one of the gifts he's named is pastor. Jesus himself gave the church the ministry gifts. And when people just fail to see, just to see me as Roma, but there's something more than Roma here. There is an anointing. There's an office. And so we are teaching the students at Bible college here on campus here, over here, you know, about these kinds of things. You know, we said that you can go to Bible college. Just because you go to Bible college doesn't mean you're going to receive an anointing to be a pastor. You should be a pastor before you ever went to Bible college. You should have the calling before you went to Bible college. Bible college only teaches you how to use the anointing, how to minister the anointing and what to do with it. God is the only one that calls you. God is the only one who places you and directs your life. And so we thank God that, you know, there's many, I've gone to school with many people over the years, and very few of them in my year, there was 2,000 of us, 2,200 of us in Bible school that year, the year I was there. And more than half of them, I think, were pastors in my year. And every time we go to Rhema, every year to go to, you know, the training and different things that we have to do. We go to sometimes two or three times a year, and pastor says to come back, you know, every year, right? So our pastor says, come on back every year. Come on to, you know, to the seminars and so on. So we go and we obey that. We want to go there because we want to associate with that. And something happens to us every time I go. I tell people, every time I go to Rhema, I don't know, something happens to me there. As soon as I get on campus, something happens to me. There's something there that God imparts to me. I don't always know it right away, but something happens, right, Cindy? You know, so something happens to me. There's an invisible presence of the power of God comes manifest on our lives. And so thank God for that. So the people there didn't enjoy in his hometown anything of the anointing that was on Jesus' life. The miracle power, the healing power. So we talked about, yes, last time, what is honor? And we asked the question, what does it mean? What does honor mean? What does it mean to honor somebody? And we said that honoring means to value and to see something of worth, something that is worth or valuable in your life. So when something's valuable, we treat it with special treatment. We treat it with something that's worth it. You know, there's an anointing on this church to be in Kern River. I wonder if all those people that live around the area here, if they understand what's here, how many people would come? If they would actually recognize that. But not everybody's going to recognize that. We see in Jesus' day, this didn't happen. So when Jesus said he was anointed with power, and the people of his hometown despised him and rejected him, they did not respect nor accepted what Jesus said about the power of God upon his life and his ministry. We're going to see that. Let's see. Here's the Matthew chapter 10, verse 41. This is the King James Bible. Matthew 10, 41. Jesus said this, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. Matthew 10, 41. I remember a story Brother Hagin said. You know, he traveled many, many miles. Brother Hagin, of course he was anointed. He showed us the progression of the anointing of God that increased in his life over the years. And of course, he's a prophet, an apostle. He had a special message of faith, established a faith in the kingdom of God. And he also was prophetic, prophet, and he could see different things. He could see into the realm of spirits, and he had many visitations of Jesus and so on. And he said every time he traveled as a minister, as a traveling evangelist, and he had the prophetic anointing on his life, and he would stay in someone's house. He said, there's not one person that he ever stayed with in their house failed to receive a prophet's reward. He said there was things happening in their homes, and he would automatically know, and he would see it like a screen would fall, go before his spirit, and he would see different things that people needed, and he would speak that out, and those people would be blessed by it. Because those people treated him with respect and with dignity as a minister of gospel, the gospel. And he stayed at home. Sometimes, if some of you ever recognize this, if there's a man of God coming this town, you say, hey, lad, don't send him to, the day's end and, you know, get Stephanie get all the blessings. You know, I sent him to my house. But not too many people have that kind of belief. That they say, I don't put up with this guy, you know, take up space here. I don't want to entertain him. But so we put him in a hotel. So we put different people in a hotel. So Jesus said, if you receive a prophet, if you honor a prophet, you're going to get that reward. Matthew 13:57 says, they were offended of Jesus. But Jesus said unto him, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, in his own house. You know, this tells me that you could become so familiar, or what we call the sin of familiarity, we become so familiar with somebody, we lose respect for that person because you see his flaws. You see his sins, his failures, his character defects, that you lose respect for that person. But God wants you to have a better insight than that. We don't look at a person from the natural. In 1 Samuel, it talks about in there that man looks at each other. We look at each other from the natural perspective when God sees more than that. Like, if you look at yourself right now, the Bible tells you that you're holy and blameless before the Lord. And you look at yourself and say, I'm not holy. I'm not blameless. But God says you are. God says you're righteous right now. He said, I'm not righteous. No, God says you are. So we have to see how God sees us and what God sees because of Jesus. Are you guys doing okay? Okay, you're very quiet. John 4:44 says this. Jesus said himself, he testified, that a prophet has no honor in his home country. So somebody said, well, see, there it is. I guess there's no chance for me. I might as well not, go to the ministry or do anything worthwhile because I'm going to be able to honor anyway. Whether or not somebody is going to give you honor, you don't honor God and go into the ministry and not go to ministry because people are not going to honor you. You do it because God said to do it. If I didn't understand and know that God called me, I would not ever become in ministry. I'd just build my own life. And just work as much as I can, earn as much money as I can, buy as much land as I can, and just earn as much honor and and degrees and do my own stuff and build my own house and just do that instead of pouring my life into people and helping people. I wouldn't waste the time. If I didn't have those powerful encounters with God, like I told the Bible school students, if I didn't have the powerful, I would have quit a long time ago. But because God gave me those encounters, I didn't quit because I knew that God was in this. And God's the one in the long run. Like, why would I want to go and do something? You know, if you're going to go and do something in ministry because you have self-esteem issues, you wouldn't gonna last long. You know, because there's plenty of rejection there and plenty of dishonor. So we have to endure. Let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 4. I read you some of those scriptures, what Jesus said. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. We'll read several verses of scripture. And while I'm reading, I'll just kind of make a little bit of comment on that. Jesus said there, he went to his hometown. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Now, Jesus himself said that he's anointed. Let me just tell you something. Jesus recognized God. Okay? He recognized God and his anointing on his life. So he had to acknowledge that. If anything's going to happen in your own life, you're going to have to acknowledge what you have from God right away. If you're going to get something out of your life, spiritually speaking, you're going to have to start acknowledging what God's given you. Honor what God's given you. Jesus began to honor that. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. Then he itemized different things. He says, to preach. You know, there's an anointing to preach. There's a stronger anointing sometimes will come upon me to preach. So other times, there's not as much. There's only two reasons for that. One is what God wants to emphasize that morning. And two is because of how much people are not honoring. So we can see there's two things that happen in a service. A lot of times I remember years ago, I would pray for hours. I'd spell out, you know, read and pray and study the scriptures and come out to preach. And everything was so flat. And I said, oh, well, just go back home and cry about it because, you know, because I just felt, you know, I was not, you know, maybe I missed God. Until God began to show me something. And it's two reasons. One is because, you know, sometimes he'll send a stronger anointing that he wants to do something special in his service that morning. It's not always the same. And then there's a second reason that if people are not paying attention, they're so busy thinking about their week, they're thinking about their grocery list and thinking about their kids over here and what they're going to do after service, and they're writing notes about something else. They're not talking about listening to the sermon. They've got their mind on something else. That anointing will wane. It'll lift, and God doesn't respect that, and so that anointing will lift, and sometimes it'll cause somebody else not to be healed because we're not paying attention. We begin to recognize that, and sometimes in people's lives. And so, it's amazing how many ways we can miss God. He says there's an anointing to preach, to heal. He says to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach acceptable the year of the Lord. He closed the book and gave it again to his minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And they all bear him witness that wondered that the gracious words were proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is this not Joseph's son? They were so amazed. They said, hey, man, this is Joseph's son. They could not accept someone from among themselves that God's going to use somebody from among themselves. They started to despise and rejected Jesus because of what he said. And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. And whatsoever we have heard here in Capernaum, do also likewise, like here in thy country. And he said, you know, okay, so they were trying to force Jesus to, they were saying later, if you're a son of God, do this and do that. Heal this one, do that. They were trying to force Jesus in the corner to perform for him. But God says, Jesus said, I don't do anything of myself. I do only what the Father tells me to do. Regarding miracles and healings. Now, in the four Gospels, it said that everyone who has faith in Jesus got healed. Every one of them. But only a couple of people who didn't have that kind of faith to come to Jesus to be healed. God, by his Holy Spirit, gave a miracle. So it wasn't just their faith coming to Jesus. It was a miracle. So there's a difference between a healing miracle and just everyone can receive healing for themselves. So, you see, understand, you know, thank God for it. I mean, there's a number of teachings in that. One of which, we need to respect the anointing on someone like Jesus. So, they said, this is Joseph's son. And he said, you'll say this about me. No prophet, he said later, verily I say to you, no prophet except in his own country. Then he goes on to tell a story about two other prophets who were anointed. And they were from Israel. One was, they had a miracle anointing in their lives. And it said there that they weren't sent to their own home country and their own people to heal their own people. Because their people had the old covenant. They had the promises. But he said they went to other people who didn't have the word to receive a miracle. God is telling us that we need to have enough respect for the man of God and the office of God to get what they need from the man of God and or the word of God. So he said, notice that he begins to liken himself to two other prophets before him. He gave them an example. Let's go ahead and read on here. if you can follow. No prophet is except in his own country, he said, but I tell you of a truth. Many widows. How many widows? They were in Israel. So there was many Israel, there was many widows in Israel. Now, let me just tell you something about that. The Bible said only one of them was, only one person over here. Now it says there, let me read it here again. I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias or Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months. That's, you know, 3.5 years, there was a famine. Great famine was throughout the land. Notice this. But until how many of them was what he was Elijah said? How many of them? Tell me again, how many people? None of them. Let me ask you why. You know, if somebody, you know, you look down on somebody, you ain't going to receive anything from somebody Jesus said you don't trust that I've sent. That's pretty strong. He said, but none of them was Elias sent to save Sarepta, a lady in the city of Sidon, somebody outside of Israel. That was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel. How many lepers in Israel? Many of them. He didn't say there was 16 of them, but he said many of them. The time of Elias or Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. He was not an Israelite. They all, in the synagogue, they were all, when they heard these things, they were all filled with joy, and they began to rejoice. No, he said they were mad. They rose up and thrust there, and were to thrust them out of the city, led them into the broadest hill where country where they was where has been built where city was built, that they might cast him headlong. But he passing through the midst, went on his way. The book of Matthew, as we read earlier, Matthew 13:57, the Amplified Classical Bible says they took offense at him. They were repelled and hindered from acknowledging his authority, and caused to stumble. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, in his own house. So they didn't honor him. They said, who does he think he is? His family lives right here in our community. There's nothing special about him. Who does he think he is anyway? So they disrespected him. They didn't value him or the anointing upon his life. And he said, he's not worth it. We don't want to listen to him. Who the heck does he think he is? So they forfeited the anointing that was placed on the life of Jesus. Jesus couldn't do one miracle. Now we see a scripture over here. In Mark chapter 6. A prophet is not without honor in his own country, among his own kin, in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work or miracles, save or just that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them with minor illness. The Greek says that with people with minor illness, they would have been healed anyway without him, you know, laying their hands upon them. So there's something here about handling the anointing or the anointing of God. Those who were called to and anointed under the Old Testament would handle the anointing, or the anointing would come upon them. And with great caution, they worked in the house of God. God gave special instruction for certain individuals to handle the anointing, because he's a holy God and powerful, that ordinary people who were not equipped to, who were improperly handling, it could kill them. So God gave special instructions. This is before Jesus came and he made it possible for us to handle the anointing. Before Jesus came, only three kinds of people had the anointing on them. The prophet, the king, and the priest in the Old Testament. But God said in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, said, one day all of you will be prophets. In other words, all of you will have the anointing on you. And all of you will know me personally. You will all know me. You will all know God. Because that anointing will come upon you. You will know God personally, the Holy Spirit. So, in this day and age, we don't die like they did over there or get sick. Because we're under a different age. We're living under the age of grace. We wouldn't die if that anointing came. That anointing would come here. Now, we see here in Leviticus chapter 9. I'm going to read this from the NLT. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23-24. It says, "Then Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle." See, that's where the Holy Spirit, the presence of God was. You know, when they traveled, they had a tent there and all that. And they came back out. They blessed the people again, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto the whole community. Fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence, and consumed the burnt offerings, and the fat on the altar. It's a good way to get a diet done. Maybe, yeah. Burn the fat. When the people saw this, they shouted with joy, fell face down on the ground. You know, I don't know about you. I remember the power of God come upon me. You know, I'm just a young kid. I'm sitting there in my house. I remember the very first time this happened to me. I'm sitting in my house. My dad's sitting there, my mom's sitting over here, and Absalom came, the Beardy sister's dad came there, and witnessed to my dad. And he opened the Bible up, started reading the book of Joel. And as he read the book of Joel, the power of God fell in my house. My dad fell on the floor. I jumped up and started screaming and praising God effortlessly, without even trying. I began to weep and cry before God. And it wasn't like, I'm going to try this. I'm going to just really praise God. It wasn't like that. Just, it was like God slapping me, and I'm just worshiping God. In a moment of time, the power of God came and manifested in my house. 756 Red River Road. God manifests himself there. My dad never went to church, didn't want to go to church, fell down, got born again. How many people know that it takes the power of God sometimes to show people that God is real? When you're intellectualizing people and try to witness to someone and try to give them scriptures and try to make them scared that they're going to die and that doesn't work, God comes along. And he just bypasses everybody and touches the heart. It's amazing how God will do that. My dad's in heaven because of it. Because the one man come to my house. The Beardy sisters, that's why they're special to me. I keep them around here. You girls stick around. I remember Charlotte said to me, "Pastor, I have a dream," she says to me. "I had a dream about the building that we're going to be in. It's not built yet." She said, "Pastor, here's what I got. I got this." And I had the same dream already. God showed me. I told my wife the other day. I said, "I have this dream. I saw this huge auditorium. I was preaching in it. And it was like, you know, something like this, but larger. And we were going in there, and my sister said, you know, she had the same, at the same time, my sister Joanne had the same dream as Charlotte. See, the devil tries to steal things from people. Try to take Charlotte out, try to take my sister away so that they wouldn't be here to see these things. And if you're not careful, the devil will take you right out. And so you know, my sister said, you know, I went to this service. I had this vision. I was in the service, and there's lots of people in there. He said, I thought we were going to the Benny Hinn service, and all comes Pastor Roma. It's amazing what happens. Under anointing, you could see different things. It's amazing. You know, I gotta finish here in 2 minutes. There's a story here. Here, they shouted. The people fell down. The fire of God was the anointing God. It was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit's presence among the people. It was so powerful that you don't even know what to do, how to handle the situation. And some people experience the anointing of God. They start to, you know, they'll jump and shout and fall into the power of God. Especially when people's hearts, you ever wonder why, how come they get in touch? I remember that, how come they get touched? It has to do with your heart. It has to do with your heart. And I remember the times I was touched by God so much. It was how much I offered myself to God, and how much God, you could just do whatever you want with me. And the power of God somewhere along the line would get to me and touch me. But if I was nonchalantly walking with, you know, this is normal, you know. And if you get like that, that's what you're going to get. So, we can't treat the anointing of God in the house of God upon people like it's a common thing. We got to recognize, have more respect for it. Brother Hagin said, in our day, we need to have, you know, we've lost somehow in the church of God, we've lost a reverence for God in worship services. People just cutting their nails, and they're on their phone at their worship time, and they're just looking at the ceiling. They're not worshiping God, they're just waiting for the service to be over. Waiting for the service, let's get on with the next thing. So there's no reverence for the presence of God. For the things of God these days. We need to begin to put that back in the church. I remember, you remember when we went to the Catholic Church? We went in there with awe. You're scared to move. Because they taught us something. And so, you know, if you want to pee, you wait till after the service. You kind of held it like that for a while. A lot of people sitting cross-legged. See some of you right now. And so, you know, we have to have that respect for it. And there's some people, of course, didn't. Lots of people did. Let me just close with this. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire thereon, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not to. And there went a fire from the Lord and devoured them. They devoured them. And they died before the Lord. Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in that them that come nigh to me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron Aaron held his peace. He wouldn't say anything. So they saw what happened to those people. They died. And then you see something here. Moses himself disrespected God in the presence of the Lord. Moses transgressed also, and he was angry at the people. He hit the rock without using God's instruction. Moses, the Bible says there in Numbers chapter 20, verse 11 to 12, Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with a staff, and water gushed out. So the entire community and livestock drank their fill. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land that I'm giving them. That's pretty hard. He lost something. You know, we can lose something if we don't respect God. And the Bible says God told him not to strike the rock, but to speak to the rock. It says here, Numbers 20, verse 8, he says, you and Aaron must take the staff and the entire assembly, as the people watch, speak to the rock over there, and I'll pour water, water will pour out of it. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock. The people were complaining earlier. We see over there in verse 2 to 5, there was no water for the people to drink at the place. So they rebelled against Moses and Aaron, and the people blamed Moses and said, "If only we had died in the Lord's presence with our brothers. Why have you brought us, this congregation of the Lord's people, into this wilderness to die along with our livestock? Why did you make us leave Egypt and bring us out here to this terrible place? This land has no grain, no figs, no grapes, no pomegranates, no water to drink." So they were complaining. You know, most of those people died after. They didn't make it in. But you know, we could begin to repent of our lives. We see this over and over in the Testament. Brother Hagin tells me about some ministers who died early. They didn't respect the anointing. They didn't respect other churches. They started stealing other people, he said, "I'm going to build a church. I'm going to take people from that church and this church and just start building it and making a church." And they died. They didn't respect those other pastors and church, those other ministries out there. And there's some people, God told Brother Hagin one time, go and see Brother. So he was a mighty man of evangelist, a prophet in the United States in the early 40s and 50s. God spoke to Brother Hagin, go talk to this man. Tell him that he does not walk in love towards his fellow ministers. He disrespects all those ministers who have the anointing on them. And he eats like a hog. He's fat. And he doesn't take care of his health. And he loves money. He does ministry because of money. He only works in the ministry because he's doing it for money only. You know, there's some people in ministry doing it for money. I can tell you that. We never did it for money. We need money. I say I need money. But I didn't come into ministry because I wanted money. If I wanted money, I would have stayed in my own career. A lot of times we did it without. You don't know what my money condition is right now. None of you do. But we had to work. This man that he was sent to, he never listened to Brother Hagin. And he died. He was the leading miracle minister in the United States. And there was other ones that, you know, Brother Hagin talked about this to us. He said, you know, there's the one man, a minister. He said he disrespected the anointing. He disrespected the tongues. He disrespected the anointing on his life. But he said, you know, I don't know why God asked me to come for you to come to my church and preach. And Brother Eric said, I don't know. I don't want to either. I don't want to come there because he would just speak against Brother Hagin and speak against the Pentecostal movement. And so he made his way to go to that place. He said, God, I don't know why he was talking to the Lord. He said, God, I don't know why you're sending me to this guy. This guy literally hates what I'm doing and hates about what I'm doing. Talks against me. I don't know why you're sending me there. So when he got there, this man never came to one service that he was preaching at. During the daytime, he was teaching healing and stuff like that. And he hardly come. I don't think he ever came to the evening service. His only his wife and his staff and everybody else would come. And God gave Brother Hagin, listen to this very carefully. This will help you out. God told him, I sent you there because this man is going to die. I sent you here so that he would repent of his ways and he would live. So Brother Hagin went to another meeting just across town. Then he prophesied, I want to tell you something. He said, next Sunday night, the man at this so-and-so church will fall dead in this pulpit. And the man that Sunday night fell dead in this pulpit, this man who disrespected him. I've had two occasions where someone disrespected me thoroughly. They said, they're going to come and tell the government about I'm stealing money from my church. And all this, and brother, Pastor Rick says, you better take that back because if this guy is not doing this, then that's going to fall on you. You judge them in front of all these people right over here publicly. What happened to that guy? Well, he eventually died. I had another guy who came against me, told me publicly, face to face, said to me, I'm going to take this church. These people, God told me to take this church, and you're no longer to come back. I was at Rhema. I began to plead with him. He said, you can't do this. This is not your church. This is God helped me to raise this church up. And what happened to him? He died. Listen, we can't just come against people in the office that they're anointed to. God says, him that come against me, you come against you, is coming against me. We have to understand these things in the last days. You know, we see this over in the New Testament. People died. People are struck blind. Different things. There's a great anointing coming, people. In these last days, it's going to just make people head spin. But we need to learn to respect God and his anointing and his thing. Let's go ahead and stand up and close. Father, we want to thank you this morning. Amen. For the anointing of God and the life of your people. Let's begin to close. As we close, let's lift up a hand in reverence to God. Father, we want to thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. We reverence you, Lord God, and your things. So, Father, we ask that we have be teachable people. So we humbly come to you. We say, Lord, I want to be teachable. I want to be pliable. I want to be sensitive to you and your things. Thank you for the honor of knowing your word and your spirit. Thank you for the grace of God that I'm not dead today. Thank you for the grace of God and your mercy that I've made mistakes that I can be corrected. If you'd all pray this prayer, say, thank God. There's forgiveness. Lord, forgive me for disrespecting the anointing of God, the power of God in manifestation. I will not speak against your church or anybody else or any other ministry in this city or on television in the name of Jesus. I will not touch God's anointed, as David said in the Psalms. Touch not the anointed. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you who have never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, this is an opportunity for you right now to come to Jesus, to come to God. If you never invited Jesus in your life, Jesus died for you publicly. He's calling you publicly. If you would bow your head, everyone right now, those of you that need Jesus Christ, you say, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe that you went to hell for me so that I don't have to go there. I believe on the third day that God, by your Spirit, you raised Jesus from the dead, that he sent into heaven and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me. I believe in that. I believe that he is Lord. He is Savior of the world. And I make him my Lord and my Savior. Friend, if you said that prayer, you're now saved. You're born again. You're now a child of God. Whatever I close, every head bowed, I want to ask someone in here in this house right now, if that was you, let me see your hand. Lift it way up high. I want to see you. I'm going to look around right now. Lift your hand up high. Say, I needed that prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, I want to thank you for all those people here that are born again. I want to pray that each one in this room will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a new arising, a new spiritual experience in the name of Jesus for everyone here. The anointing is falling right now, people. It's falling right now in the name of Jesus. Touch those people right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Touch those people right now. Heal them. Change their hearts. Change their lives so they can avoid premature death. They can enjoy prosperity. They can enjoy the goodness of God. So we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you go out, shake a few hands. Tell people you appreciate them. Those of you that are watching online, I want to talk to you right now. If you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you can do that today, right now. If you would pray this prayer, you say, God, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you are my